hour number two of Chase and Big Joe, sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase and Big Joe out today. They are in Rayon City taking a crayon-making class. So Connor Newt, myself, Nick Frazier himself, in with you today. To start the hour, we're going to talk a little college football. And to do that, we welcome in our man, Outkick college football reporter, Trey Wallace, to the program. Trey, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, boys. Just walking outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium and pick up a credential. And, yeah, I'm sure a lot of news will come down over the next 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of news has come down over the past 24 hours, as is. I'll start with one that came out yesterday concerning the team just down the road from us. Vanderbilt came out yesterday and said they were in talks trying to find a 13th game to be played in Hawaii, Puerto Rico, or Alaska with one of Utah or Miami, two teams on the bubble, to try and get them into the CFP. Is that something that, if it were to come to fruition, and obviously I don't think it will, if it were to come to fruition, is that something that you truly think could elevate them to the college football playoff conversation?
I mean, look, it goes both ways. It could have given them a shot at another ranked, win, get a ranked win. I think at the end of the day, this was more kind of a hope than actually can come together. It's hard. You have to get, approval from the conferences. You got to get approval from the NCAA. Now, look, I'm sure Vanderbilt did their due diligence, got everything that they needed if they needed to go ahead with it. But I don't know what it could have done. You look at a game against maybe Miami or Utah and whatnot, and, sure, it would have looked good on paper. But at the same time, I think the CFP would have looked at it as, well, wait a minute, you had an additional game that other schools didn't go out and have. I give them credit. I really do. It's thinking outside the box, but at the same time, guys, I think Vanderbilt's just getting screwed here, unfortunately. I can't maybe put up an argument for, Miami or Notre Dame or, Texas, I could probably argue a little bit about. It's just unfortunate. And it's unfortunate because the CFP has changed their data points every week. And we can't get a real answer out of these guys. So, Vanderbilt's punished for beating the absolute tar out of Tennessee this past weekend. And they dropped Tennessee. And it's like, well, wait a minute. They dropped Tennessee because Vanderbilt beat them up so bad. So what I'm saying is you can't win with this committee. And I'm lost for words when it comes to their teleconferences, when it comes to their explanations, because I think all of this has just been a crock. And I could probably add a phrase at the end of that to make it sound better, but we're on radio.
That we are. Speaking of the CFP, there is a chaos scenario that could play out this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say Duke goes in, beats Virginia in the ACC championship, and JMU beats Troy tonight to win the Sun Belt. That would mean the ACC could be completely left out of the college football playoff. Is that something that the ACC is going to, take it to the courts if that happens?
This is where it gets real interesting, because the other chaos factor, too, I'm going to add to it. What if, let's just say BYU loses, okay? So what are we going to get? If Tulane wins tonight, if James Madison wins tonight, we're going to have two G5s in there and no ACC team? Like, this could get chaotic. And now, look, I don't have any sympathy for the ACC, when it pertains to a 7-5 football team potentially making the playoff. I'm sorry. It's not as if these losses were to, Ohio State, Texas, or, Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so I'm having a hard time coming to grips with the ACC not having a spot. I think Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the conference, would absolutely lose his ever-living mind. The court situation, please, for the love of God, make this thing go to court, because I would love to see how that would play off, especially with all everything that's gone on with the CFP committee over the past, 4 to 5 weeks. But the problem lies in, and you talked about it, if we do get that chaos, and we're sitting there Saturday night, and the good thing about it is pretty much we're going to know, and not like us, but the committee is going to know Saturday night where they're going here, because the only one, the game that is really going to matter, and it really doesn't matter, is the Big Ten title game. Because whoever loses out of Ohio State and Indiana, well, they're not dropping out of the top four. So we are in for, I think, what could turn out to be one of the wildest Saturdays. And I'm not talking about for the games. I'm talking about just for the implications, period. If this thing comes to fruition and we're sitting here Sunday afternoon, and I think, what, the show starts at 11 and goes on for like 9 hours. So we're probably sitting there at noon and we're wondering, okay, why is the ACC out? And if that's the case, man, I'm just telling you, it's going to be chaotic, especially if it's how things, I think, line up with James Madison and Tulane getting those spots in over an ACC school, who, by the way, just had the court cases with Clemson and Florida State and these others dropped a few months ago because they found a different way to be bigger and badder and find different revenue. This whole thing is just wild, but I will say, hey, man, this is what the ACC has done to itself, and we're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah, adding more gasoline to this conversation about college football's craziness, getting to Lane Kiffin and also to the college football playoff and whatnot. It's said in the rule book that, you know, if a coach or a player leaves a program, that team could possibly be penalized in some form or fashion. You look at Ole Miss, say the craziness does happen, say Duke ends up winning the ACC championship, say you get two G5 schools in there. What does that do for a team like Ole Miss? Because I feel like you got to do something to them, right?
Yeah. You're not going to – here's the economics of it from my standpoint and talking with folks in Oxford last weekend as I staked out Lane Kiffin's airplane. That's going to be a $60 million hit to the city of Oxford when it comes to them not hosting a playoff game. Now, here's what could happen, and I'm just going to throw a hypothetical. They could say, okay, look, we're going to drop them a little bit, but at the same time, we're going to still allow them to host a playoff game. Like, that's what I could see happening if we have a little bit of chaos this weekend. I don't think they should penalize Ole Miss in a sense of, I've seen what these players can do. They got Charlie Weiss back. He's going to be calling the offense. I get not having Lane Kiffin. That's not lost on me. But at the same time, Lane Kiffin wasn't out there on the field, you know, taking hits at the 20-yard line and dropping dimes from Trinidad Tramp Chambliss. You would be making a very big statement. And the problem is, this is only the beginning, guys. This is going to happen down the road again, especially when we get to, what, 48 teams in the playoff? I'm joking. We're probably going to get to 16 to 24. But this is the first time. So with Ole Miss, they deserve to be in. They deserve to host a playoff game. The committee saw it as, hey, we're going to even move them up a spot. So how much can you really do? I'm just curious to see what they finally think on Sunday. But to be honest with you, I think we got their final answer this past week when they kept them at 6.
Yeah, and to add on to that, kind of getting to Lane Kiffin, you're not going to make everybody happy in this world. We get that. But going from one SEC school to the other, it just seems like a disaster fire for Lane Kiffin, because there are also stuff he said in the press conferences that has not appeased people as well. Just what do you think of the whole overall situation?
He is an absolute villain now to everyone outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I think if you polled folks in Louisiana, 50% of them would probably say, yeah, he's a sleazeball. But we love him, though, because he's our coach. That's just how it is. He handled everything in the wrong way. You put your offensive staff in a horrible position. You put your players in a horrible position. You tried to go up in that press conference on Monday, and you tried to spew what you thought were facts, but they really weren't facts. The players in the leadership council, he didn't have a team meeting, by the way. Like, he kept mentioning he met with the players on Sunday. He didn't meet with the whole team. He met with 6 guys on the leadership council, and they pretty much told him, according to my sources, to kick rocks. So I think we're in a spot right now where Lane Kiffin is going to be, the most talked about villain in college sports until we get the SEC spring meetings and this thing kind of blows over. He's going to answer some questions. We're going to get the media days in July again. And then we're all going to look forward to that trip to Oxford in September, which I think is going to be announced next week. I think that game will be the first SEC game between both squads, which is going to be fantastic. I wish I could go ahead and just put my credential request in right now for that one. But here we are. And Lane Kiffin just didn't help himself, man. Like, this – And by the way, like when Keith Carter released that statement on that Friday, so I guess it was 2 weeks ago, Lane Kiffin had already verbally agreed to be the LSU coach. So he brought all of this on himself. He's going to be on College Game Day Saturday. You know how that's going to go down. You know, Nick Saban is already out here today on the Pat McAfee show talking about how, well, I have to be a friend. You know, this is somebody that did good by me. I'm going to take care of them in the long run. Like, this has just gotten out of control. But unfortunately, it's not going to be the last time it happens.
Talking to Trey Wallace, college football reporter for Outkick. Trey, the coaching search nightmare for Penn State has come to an end. It came out earlier today.
Finally,
that they have hired Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell to be the next head coach of the Nittany Lions. When you look at kind of the situation that went on in Penn State, they obviously fired James Franklin for not being able to win the big one. Is Matt Campbell that much of an upgrade from James Franklin?
Matt Campbell has always been a hot commodity because of how he's done it at Iowa State. He is a top tier coach. I think also at the end of the day, he's somebody that can build a program and lead it. He is loyal to a fault at times. He has not taken on other jobs. And I think also at the same time, when you look at what Penn State needs, you've seen Penn State strike out so many times in the past. And now that we look at it, I think that we're at a standpoint. Hey, how are you? We're at a standpoint right now where Penn State had to make a move. And you saw when they struck out on Matt Rhule. You saw when they struck out on Elko, Cignetti, Jeff Brohm. I mean, even this week, you know, it just got really bad. And when Kalani Sitake ended up not taking that job too, it kind of changed the whole landscape.
Yeah, last one for me, Trey. Just looking at the overall synopsis of the Heisman Trophy, Diego Pavia has been just taking every bit of conversation for the Heisman Trophy. But you look at a guy like Diego Pavia and not to see Vanderbilt not in, it just makes you wonder, is there a definitive answer? Not definitive answer, but is there a way that Pavia ends up winning the Heisman this year?
I'll be honest with you. I think Diego Pavia should. But here's the problem that they're going to run into. And I have a vote in this, and I'm not going to come out and tell you who I'm voting for because I can't. I ain't going to get in trouble. But I will say this. Diego Pavia earned his spot in New York City. At the same time, I think that it stinks for Diego that, unfortunately, Fernando Mendoza and Julian Sain are going to go get one more round at this. And, by the way, they deserve it. But I think if we all voted this week and we could start putting in our voting this week, I think there would have been a lot of favor towards Diego, if I'm being honest with you. But it could come down to which quarterback throws for 300 yards and two touchdowns on Saturday night in Indianapolis. And I hate that. But, you know, I do think what he has done, man, he's going to get a spot there. Good luck to the NYPD up there because his family's coming. I think they got to make a stop in Knoxville for a court appearance next week. But at the same time, he has been such a fascinating person to follow. And as much as folks want to dislike him for what he's done off the field, let me tell you something. All he has done is back it up. And I know folks can point at Alabama and the Texas game. That's fine. But at the same time, he told you what he was going to do. He told you he was going to be in the Heisman conversation, and he's in the Heisman conversation. He's got Vanderbilt, you know, and obviously the whole Vanderbilt team contribute to this. But what I am saying is that he's got Vanderbilt in the national championship conversation. I know where they're sitting right now, but we're still talking about them in the CFP. So overall, I love me some Diego. I'm not going to lie. I think he's been great for college football. I wish he could play another year, but it seems like Vanderbilt's got their future pretty much lined up with Jared Curtis. And I think he's got a chance to win it. I think if folks go back, and Vanderbilt's done a really great job of putting a press when it comes to the media, if folks go back and watch that Tennessee game last week and see what he did to them starting in the second quarter and going on, and especially in that middle eight, that young man deserves the Heisman Trophy, in my opinion. So I think a lot of folks, even though they don't like him around the SEC, but a lot of folks are going to be hoping this is a defensive battle on Saturday night between Ohio State and Indiana. And then at the end of the day, maybe Diego is the one holding up the trophy at the end of the year.
He's Trey Wallace, college football reporter for OutKick. Trey, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time. Big weekend of college football this weekend, so hope you enjoy it. We'll talk to you soon.
It's gonna be fun, boys. We start tonight. We got some G5 games tonight. That should be exciting. And sorry for sounding a little bit like I'm shivering, but for some reason it's 34 degrees in Atlanta today. So I appreciate it.
We appreciate it, Trey. We'll see you next time. Trey Wallace.
See you, Trey.
Trey Wallace of OutKick. Always a blast to have that guy on. We'll come back, react to some of what he had to say, because, boy, it was a lot. We'll do that coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game.
Oh,
this is like a top three white girl song of all time right here. Natasha Bedingfield.
Yeah,
Unwritten. Fun fact, in my sophomore year of high school, we did this as like a show choir song.
Really?
It was terrible.
I feel like that'd be a pretty good show choir song.
It was pretty bad. Jason Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Trey Wallace for joining us there. He's a fun guy. Like, I still have more to ask him. He's just a college football encyclopedia. And I always come away feeling empty-handed because he gives us so much information, and there's like, well, tell me more.
I know. He was telling a lot of people what he was doing on the phone when he was, you know, going up to the press box.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I took a big thing about how he was talking about Vanning that 13th game, and then he mentioned a team that I was going to tease, and I think now's the time to do it, a team in Texas. You know, Clark Lee went on, I think, with Hutton and Withrow earlier on Hot Mic, I think earlier in the week, and mentioned – you know, anywhere, we'll put a football in the parking lot and we'll play football. That's Clark Lee.
Yeah. I respect it.
Exactly. Then you hear a guy in Steve Sarkisian, we're the best three-loss team after beating A&M. We're the best three-loss team out there in the nation. We belong in this playoff. Well, look, if you belong in the playoff, I think it'd be perfect. Perfect for Clark Lee, perfect for Steve Sarkisian, perfect for the committee. And guess what? The one thing that Trey Wallace mentioned, yeah, Vanderbilt and Clark Lee were definitely fielding calls and finding out how they can get another conference to abide by that.
Yeah.
This is the same conference, the SEC, Texas, Vandy. Go to Hawaii. Just charter a plane. You're both on it. Save some cost if you want. The only person you got to appease is Greg Sankey. And I'm sure Greg Sankey's thinking, look, if this creates more money to the television, they already have a contract. SEC already has a contract with ESPN. Might as well just go out to Hawaii and get it done. I think this would be a great option for a 13th game for Vanderbilt. And look, maybe it's not this weekend. Maybe it's not next weekend. Or maybe it is next weekend. But look, if it's next weekend, play it at like, I don't know, noon? Or play, well, they have a time difference.
So 3 a.m. on the Cartoon Network.
Maybe at like 5 in the afternoon and they bump Army-Navy to like noon or something. Like, this is what college football needs. They need to find a happy medium, and this is their happy medium and their segue into playing those play-in games. That's how I'm looking at it right now.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, I'll give you my opinion on the Vanderbilt 13th game because I disagree with you on some level, and I'll tell you why. Tomorrow's college football game of the week is number 2 Indiana versus number 1 Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game on 94.9 The Fan at 7 p.m. Coverage presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and is also available on the Game National app and thegamenational.com. We'll do that coming up next. We'll talk about Vanderbilt's alleged 13th game that they wanted to play and why I disagree with it. We'll do that coming up next right here on Chase and Big Joe. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier with you on 102.5 The Game.
What is this? Victorious, you don't remember that
song? Oh, yeah. This is Victorious. Oh, yeah.
I was about to say Lady Gaga.
It does sound very Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
But I do remember this. This was a good episode. Welcome back, Chase and Big Joe, here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Joe out today. They're in Rayon City taking a crayon-making class. So they would be very confused if they heard this music on their program.
No offense, I'm kind of confused myself.
Oh, I am too. Yeah. But that's the fun.
It's a beauty.
We gotta throw some oddballs in there sometimes. Gotta keep you on your toes.
Yeah. All the girls my age are bumping because that's what they watched.
Bumping.
And then played horses at recess. Or I'm sorry, they played cheetahs at recess.
Cheetahs. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me a stick and a couple branches. We're good.
I mean, that's what we did. We were out beating each other with sticks at recess, and these girls were, you know.
Playing baseball, let's put it that way.
I mean, gave us a ball, we'd find something to do with it. So,
you know who was just giving them a ball and trying to figure it out? Vandy.
Clark Lee.
Yep.
Vanderbilt allegedly wanted to play a 13th game against one of Miami or Utah to help boost their CFP resume and try and get into the college football playoff. I disagree with it. I respect the effort from Clark Lee. I respect the willingness to play anytime, anywhere, because I think that's what makes a good coach and a good program.
Mm-hmm.
However, logistically speaking, I don't like how it would work because Vanderbilt has already played 12 games. Why should they get a 13th game unlike everyone else? I think that puts them at an unfair advantage. And I was originally confused because I thought it was, well, if they play it, it won't be sanctioned. Apparently, if it is played in Hawaii, Alaska, or Puerto Rico, it can be a sanctioned NCAA game. Obviously, this isn't happening. This fell through. The NCAA has said no. Vanderbilt said no, it's not happening. So we have nothing to worry about. Well, that's not what I meant to say. But
it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
I'm just saying, if we're going off hypotheticals here, and let's say Vanderbilt was able to play this, A, I don't like the logistics that they've already had 12 games to prove it, just like everyone else, and then because they, you know, for lack of a better term, complained enough, they get a 13th game. I'm not saying they're complaining. I'm just saying...
Stating their case.
Thank you. That's a nicer way of saying that. The other thing is, let's say they do play a team on the bubble, like Miami, like Utah, and they win. What does that actually do for you getting you into the college football playoff? That's why I asked Trey about that, because I was curious. If you beat a team already in the playoff picture, sure. Like if you were to beat, like you said, Texas is on the bubble, but let's say they play A&M and they beat A&M. Yeah, throw them in. But if you're playing another team on the bubble that's also probably not going to make it, I don't understand what beating them accomplishes. It would probably just put you higher on the outside looking in than actually in. You would be Miami in that first team out.
Yeah, I look at it this way. You know, the committee is definitely holding the two losses for Alabama against them. Obviously, they're 10-2, but one of those two losses was against a team in Texas. That game was a blowout by halftime, but Vanderbilt made it a game. They almost recovered the onside kick in the second half, the last dying seconds of the game, that is. And they made it, what, a three-point game, 34-31, is that right?
Yeah.
And you look at that and you think, man, on paper in the box score, Vandy gave them a run for their money. In reality, not so much. But the reason why I mentioned Texas as that team they need to play in Hawaii is because the committee this past Tuesday said, well, if we bump Texas up three spots, that's essentially a roadblock for Vanderbilt, saying they can't go any higher in those rankings. That's how I look at that. Now, if you look at Texas right now, they're not going to go anywhere. I think we all know the national media that Texas is going nowhere, but that's just the committee saying, hey, as a roadblock, Vanderbilt, you can't go any higher, my friend. We're putting a team in Texas that beat you in the regular season and has another loss on their resume, so you're landlocked. You can't go nowhere.
Which I disagree with heavily.
I agree, yes.
I think it's unfair to Vanderbilt that they are roadblocked by, yes, I understand a team that beat them, but they lost to a 3-win Florida team. So
exactly.
That should automatically put Vanderbilt ahead of Texas, regardless of the loss to them.
Yeah, and that's why I think if you were to play this game in Hawaii, Texas versus Vanderbilt, and if Vanderbilt's confident enough, which I know they probably are, they can beat anybody in the nation because they got to go into this playoff if they somehow make it, which I think won't happen. But
which I respect.
Yeah, you got to respect the grind for sure. But this is a team, if they beat Texas, that to me would suit the case of they belong in the playoff. And to the credit of the rule book here, that 13th game, you could have put that at the beginning of your schedule. You could have said, hey, Vanderbilt, you can go play in Hawaii for the first game of the season. So there's that.
You know, it's interesting, too, if you don't mind me chiming in here. A couple of weeks ago, it might have been the second, the third, or second to last reveal show for the selection rankings, Reese Davis said something interesting, that Vanderbilt had been ceilinged. I think that he honestly leaked the script then, and that was even prior to when Miami had jumped Vanderbilt when they were 13. He said that Vanderbilt was ceilinged from that point forward. I think that right there kind of showed you probably where things were headed for this team, and honestly, I think even if Vanderbilt were 11-1, you could have the conversation that they're where BYU is right now on the outside looking in, and they wouldn't have the benefit of playing in a conference title. Vanderbilt might have had to have gone 12-0 to genuinely have a shot at it. I think you could actually make that argument.
I think that's fair. I don't think Vanderbilt was screwed, per se, like a lot of Vanderbilt fans are saying, and a lot of people. Trey said Vanderbilt was screwed. I don't necessarily agree with that notion, and I'll tell you why coming up next. But quickly, let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our good buddy, Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hello, good friends. I was responding to something you said a little bit earlier. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Listen, sometimes it's good to have an old guy around. I think y'all are in your 20s, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's almost like story time with Papa Kenny. Y'all mentioned Ernie Johnson Jr., and y'all were sort of confused about his connection with Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Ernie Johnson Sr. pitched for the Milwaukee Braves and then became the longtime announcer for the Atlanta Braves, probably 40 years. And I mean, he was excellent. This was before TBS, where all across the Southeast, Atlanta had radio. And I, as a kid, I would sit there and just listen to him call the games each night. And he was so nice. You can see where his son carries himself like his dad. I have two or three letters at home where I was a kid where I wrote to Ernie Johnson, and he wrote me back. I wound up meeting him before a game going to Atlanta. That was our big thrill once a year, going to a baseball team for a last place team. But anyway, but we got to meet him. But that was his connection with Ernie Johnson in Atlanta. I mean, that name is just good as gold down there still.
You still have those letters?
Absolutely. I keep a lot of stuff like that. I got letters from Hank Aaron. Phil Negro. But, that's sometimes when you root for a last-place team, good things happen because they didn't have a ton of fans.
You got that right.
You got that right. I appreciate the call, Kenny. We'll see you later.
Hey, y'all have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. Coming up next, was Vanderbilt screwed, as the term is being thrown around? I don't necessarily agree with that. We'll discuss that coming up next, right here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby here with you on 102.5 The Game. Support local artists. Paramore. Haley Williams is from Franklin. So support local artists. I love me some Paramore. It's good stuff. Welcome back. Chasing Big Joe. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier in with you today. Chase and Joe out in Rayon City taking a crayon making class. I wonder what color they picked. Because I hear you only get one. It's like making a, you know, in Disney World, they let you make the lightsaber or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same thing for crayon making. So I wonder what color they come back
with. What color would you guys pick? I'm curious.
You already know what color I pick.
What is that?
Tan.
Tan?
Like khaki. Is it tan? Red?
No.
Hi,
David.
I would go like a bright red.
Yeah?
I think that's the best way to do
it. I would make the white crayon.
White crayon?
Yeah. Because it's completely useless.
Yeah. Just like the Titans. All right. That's the last, just like the Titans. Last comment I'll make.
Last comment you'll hear about the Titans today. We were talking about Vanderbilt and the college football playoff scenario. There is a narrative being put out there by Vanderbilt fans and some media and even non-Vandy fans that Vanderbilt was completely and utterly screwed. I don't necessarily agree with that sentiment. I think it sucks that they were not in. I absolutely believe that Vanderbilt should be in. However, I don't think they outwardly looked at Vanderbilt, said, it's Vanderbilt, they don't deserve to be in because of their name, and said, screw them. I think there are a lot of things that played against the favor of Vanderbilt. You had Oklahoma beating Alabama. That did not help you whatsoever. You had Ohio State's dominance this year. You had Indiana's dominance this year. You had Texas beating A&M, and granted, I don't think Texas should be ranked ahead of Vanderbilt, but I can understand it because Texas beat Vanderbilt. You just had a lot of things that played in against Vanderbilt's favor that took place ahead of you in the rankings that I can understand the reasoning as to why Vanderbilt is not ranked. Now, there's one team that everyone points to and says they should not be in over Vanderbilt, and that's Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Notre Dame should not be in. However, I don't think it should be Vanderbilt replacing them. I think it should be the team that actually beat Notre Dame replacing them. and that comes out of the ACC, and that's the U, Miami. That's where I think this whole, well, Vanderbilt should play a team in the bubble like Miami or Utah comes into play. And again, I don't think that, you know, beating a team on the bubble would really do anything to put you into the conversation. I think if you beat a team ahead of you, then sure. But I don't necessarily agree with the sentiment that Vanderbilt was absolutely screwed by the college football playoff. Screwed would be Florida State 2 years ago going completely undefeated, winning their conference, and just unfortunately losing their quarterback for the season and being put out for an Alabama with two losses. That would be screwed. This is not screwed.
Yeah, I think the real screwed scenario would be if BYU loses,
yep,
Duke wins the ACC championship game, Alabama loses the SEC championship game, guess what happens? This is what I think will happen.
Alabama's staying in, regardless, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Three losses?
Mm-hmm.
I just think
a team shouldn't be punished for losing in a conference championship.
I understand that. I think Notre Dame would get bumped up. Then Miami would somehow sneak in there as that last team, that last bidded team. Mm-hmm. And Bama's on the outside looking in. You get where I'm coming at with that?
I could see it.
It would just be something the committee would do, right?
Remember, yeah, they did set the precedent last season when SMU lost in their conference championship game, so it's going to be interesting keeping that in mind.
It's true.
Yeah, I think they're riding with the intentions of, we're not going to punish a team for playing an extra game, especially a conference championship. And I think that's kind of where the Vanderbilt playing the 13th game comes from. But I think it's a little bit different when you're playing for a conference championship, which is earned, rather than a 13th game, which would have been just given. So, true. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Eric apparently has a gripe with both of us. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing all right. I just have to give you a little bit of a hard time. Where is Joe and Chase? Where are they today?
They are in Rayon City making crayons today.
How do you spell rayon?
R-A-Y-O-N.
How do you spell crayon?
C-R-A-Y-O-N.
So how do you say rayon but crayon? It's crayon.
Crayon.
It's rayon, crayon. It's not crayon. I don't know where you guys get crayon. It's a crayon. It's the same word, except it's just got a C in front of it.
I appreciate the call, Eric. Let's.
You guys do a good job. Just wanted to give you a hard time about that.
No, I appreciate it.
And I get it. I guess it's just the Southern mentality that comes out in me. I don't really understand why I say it, but he's right. It's crayon, but crayon's more fun to say.
Yeah, it's just a quicker, like, direct way to say it, I guess.
I mean, when you were little, was when your mom said, "Do you want to draw a picture?" Did you draw it with crayons or crayons?
I will say it. Crayons were said in my house. My dad's a southern man.
Although I do come from, I'm contradicting myself. I come from northern blood. My mom is from Schenectady, New York. So that might be where that comes from.
Yeah, my mom has a little bit of the St. Louis, you know, not dialect, but just slang. And crayon is one of those things.
That was not the Eric I expected, by the way.
I thought it was other Eric.
Yeah,
but,
you know, Kenny's friend.
Saying that, it might cue him to call one of the two.
He might. Back into the Vanderbilt conversation. Your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 8586 says, ultimately Vanderbilt deciding not to tackle against Texas is pretty much stopping them from being in. I agree to some point. If Vanderbilt beats Alabama or Texas on the road, they are most likely in. I understand what Brando said earlier, and maybe Vanderbilt had to go a perfect 12-0 and win the conference championship just to be even considered in. But I think if they go on the road and beat one of Alabama or Texas, we're not having this conversation. Vanderbilt's in. So it's, I don't think there's any debate in that. Mike says, a team should totally be punished for losing their conference championship. You mean you couldn't beat a team in your conference, not to mention BYU, Indiana, whoever the hell else you're going to say, we get their ass kicked by Vandy. Don't we always say the SEC is a tough conference, so who cares about your stupid schedule or who they beat? It's rigged. I understand that. But you are one, let's just take the Power Four, for example. You are one of eight teams playing in a conference championship. If you lose, Do you think you should be punished for that? Because you earned an extra game? Because you played well enough in the regular season and earned another game? These teams that are making at-large bids, they don't get to play in conference championship. Ole Miss does not get to play in the conference championship.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's not in a conference, so they're not a good example. Oregon is not playing in the Big Ten championship. So if you're getting an extra game, a 13th game for a conference championship, and you lose, do you think you should be punished for that?
Look, I listening to what Trey Wallace said earlier with this in talking about how their teams, especially with the college football playoff, these committee members, nobody really knows how to gauge what the top 25 really is with this committee, because their metrics change week in and week out. Now, to your question about how, you know, should a said team get penalized in a 13th week, I say yes, 100%. It's another
– there's arguments both ways.
It's another metric for the committee to say, yeah, this team's not really what we had. Like, prime example, last year when SMU made the ACC championship, they lost to Clemson. Everybody was like, oh, Clemson's a good ball club, shouldn't they? And, again, it goes to show you that Clemson, not one of the best teams out there. And I don't know. You can make an argument, like you said, make an argument for both, but I think you should be penalized in some form or fashion.
I mean, there's factors that play into both. Like, if you are penalized, you have a deserving team getting booted because they played a game that they earned and lost in. If you're not penalized, maybe an undeserving team gets in. Like, for instance, let's take the Big Ten championship this week. Ohio State and Indiana, by far, on paper, the two best teams in the country playing for a Big Ten title.
Undefeated, yep.
If Indiana loses, or even Ohio State loses, they're going to be punished on some level, but not to the level where they lose a top four seed. It's not going to happen. A one-loss team is going to be in the top four.
Yeah.
It's just how it works. But I don't – it's such a difficult conversation. But I'm standing by, if a team earns a conference championship appearance, I think that should just be added to their resume, not taken away, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I see. No, I'm just going to be on the other side of the fence on this one. Look, if, say, Ohio State wins the Big Ten championship game, Indiana loses by 20, 30 points, you're saying they should stay in the top four? For me, I think they should be booted out of the top four and be like where Texas A&M is or Ole Miss at 6 or 7. Because personally, to
who'd
me,
you bring up?
Again, I'm going to use what the committee uses right now. They're metrics that mean absolutely nothing. It's brand bias. I would put Texas A&M at that fourth spot.
A team that didn't compete in the SEC championship?
Because it doesn't hurt them. That's kind
true.
Of a bye week for them. And
that's
everybody
true.
Knows that this team was undefeated before taking on Texas. And for whatever Sarkisian says, saying they're the best 9-3 team and whatever –
Sarkisian's full of crap.
I don't take value to that.
No,
and
I don't either.
I think what Mike Elko has proved down there in College Station, to me, matters more for that top four spot. So let's say if Indiana does lose, my top four would be Ohio State. Say Georgia beats Alabama, beat Ohio State, Georgia, Texas Tech, if they win their conference championship, and then you bump A&M over Oregon and Ole Miss.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. A lot of your questions and comments to get into on the other side. So let's continue this. If a team makes a conference championship and they lose, should they be punished for that in the latest CFP rankings? We'll discuss that coming up next in hour number 3 of Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game.